Welcome to the Hacking Your Health podcast with Ben Canning and Dave Kennedy. Two guys heading out to hack body, mind, business, and beyond. We are here to provide a single source, bullshit-free guide to understanding your body and how you can live better for longer.
Listeners, I just want to say a special thanks to everybody that is listening to this podcast. If you're enjoying what we're doing, please share us. We're all over at WeHack Health on Twitter, Discord, Instagram, you name it, pretty much everywhere. But your support, your sharing of your experiences, this community is what drives us, what drives this podcast, and what allows us to be able to do this every single week for you. So if you're enjoying what we're doing, please share us out there. The more people we have to impact, the more people we have to help, that's our mission, that's our goal. And that's the whole thing about hacking your health. Thanks, everybody.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Back. I'm Ben Canning.
Dave Kennedy.
And this is a bonus episode of Hacking Your Health Podcast.
Bonus. Bonus for free. Giving out free stuff.
So
technically, it's paid by me, but technically.
Paid with time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, because like this is what we do.
Yeah. So Dave and I have been speaking. Number one, we were supposed to do it whenever I was in Cleveland, but I mean, we were riding roller coasters and hanging out. So Dave's going to move in the new training block, and we thought it would be a worthwhile episode to record how we're actually going to put it together. Now, I know that everybody listening will be in disbelief, but we have not prepared anything for this. So I don't know whether it will actually be worthwhile or not.
Very unusual for us to not prepare for anything.
Be not prepared yet. I know. Yeah. So,
well, I'll give a little bit of context here. So, you know, what's great about working with Ben is that he will take a look at the type of equipment you have access to, whether it's a gym and you know, taking videos or pictures of the gym and the equipment that you have there, or the stuff that you have at home, or things maybe you need to add or purchase that would be, you know, valuable for your home gym setups and things like that. And so whether that's resistance bands or TRX bands or a bench with some dumbbells or a tonal or whatever, you know, the programs are very much designed around what you have access to. And so, you know, Ben, obviously, and I were lifting a few weeks ago. Was it last week, actually? You know, getting together and doing some different training blocks. And, you know, what's great about the flexibility of this is that, you know, your training blocks are based off the time that you have to give. You know, Ben will calculate that into place. And then, you know, what you want to focus on and your desired outcomes. So for me, you know, I want to lift 15 times a week. Obviously not the case, but I wish I could. But you know, I usually try to allocate about 2 hours of lifting per day for 5 days a week, or 6 days a week, 5 days a week, sorry.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be five, but I think you're saying six because you know that you lift 6 days and just don't tell me.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But I do like, good. But I call it active recovery. So it's like, I just do one rep, run my deadlifts, you know, like the highest I can. No, I mean, I'll do like cardio and things like that, but I typically try to give my muscles a little bit of a break so that I don't overdo it. But so, you know, there's always been a focus. So this last training block we were on was very much focused on building out kind of the upper body chest area, which went very well. You know, I was able to get, and if you looked at kind of my physique prior to this training, my chest was okay, but it didn't have a lot of the definition around, especially the upper chest areas, you know, the little kind of get like a little cave between, you know, the chest areas from
your cleavage is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Okay. And as well as the kind of the separation between your chest and the shoulders. So overall, very successful in building those up. And now my goals are to build up my legs even more, as well as my back as two main focus areas, as well as chest, triceps, traps, you know, big toe, everything else as well. So
yes, that is the problem. It's trying to sort of separate that. Okay, there are a lot of areas that I want to bring up, but taking it back to like, okay, we'll focus for, you know, 4, 5, 6, however many months we decide the training block should last on specific or two specific body parts, and that allows us to sort of bring them up. Now, it doesn't mean that if we're focused on chest, we don't train legs. you just put more volume and more emphasis on those other body parts. A general rule of thumb, and I mean, not science by any stretch of imagination, but I usually go for like 1.5 times the amount of volume per muscle group that we're trying to bring up across the week. One thing, actually, that we're going to do that you have not done yet is in recent months, I've put together a training block review questionnaire. So whenever people come to the end of their training block, they get it sent out, they fill it out, then we go on a call and we sort of talk about what the next move in the next block is. So I have it up here. We can obviously do it and I'll just take the answers and then I can obviously, we can build it out as we go. I'll not go through the whole thing because some of it's probably not relevant, but main questions are, what have you enjoyed about the training block? What have you not enjoyed about the training block? Which specific exercises do you connect well with and would like keeping in? And what exercises did you not connect well with and would like removing? I mean, that's the first four. There's plenty more, but we can start with this. So what did you enjoy? What did you not enjoy?
What I enjoyed, I think, how you crafted it this time around, I thought was really unique in the sense that the first push day was on Monday and my second push day was on Friday. So splitting up the time frames a little bit was good, but the emphasis on heavy chest on Monday and then heavy shoulders on Friday really allowed me to focus very heavily on, you know, more of the slow twitch fibers on that Friday side around my chest, i.e. being more volume specific on chest versus always going heavy. So, you know, I was able to really balance a lot of the strength gains as well as the size gains based off of the split of the training programs. And same thing for, you know, legs, and we only had one back day in there, although, you know, obviously with legs, especially doing deadlifts and things like that, you're engaging back quite a bit. So I really liked how we split up the groups to be kind of a strength and power day versus a volume and hypertrophy day. I thought was really good. What I disliked,
the fact that you couldn't train 15 times a week,
right? No, I think the biggest thing is I'm not a big fan of hip thrusters. I think there's so many better other movements out there that I can do that doesn't require me like humping the air. I just don't like that one personally. But it's obviously a really good isolation movement. And obviously when you're loading that much amount of weight and you're focusing just specifically on those. But also I didn't have access to the equipment that I do now, right? So I think with the additions of the additional equipment, I'd like to see that one go away.
Okay, so what you're saying is,
or I'll just not do them and tell you that.
I get it. I'm actually surprised that this isn't a machine that you've bought, because it's much different doing a machine than doing it with a barbell.
Yeah. So I'll be buying a machine as well. So
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as we said in the episode we recorded yesterday, it's time for you to buy a new piece of equipment. I mean, it's been almost a month. So the good things that I don't want to say struggle, but the considerations that we need to take in on this is how can we fit everything in is probably a big part of it. And that's why we sort of separate the push days so they're not back to back to give you enough time to recover. Another consideration is, you know, at the level you train at now, there is a consideration of it needs more time for recovery. So the more muscle you have, the more time that you need to actually recover. Whenever you're in that sort of early stage and you have a smaller muscle mass, you can recover a lot quicker. So taking that into consideration, how we can actually fit everything in. So having a chest focus push and a shoulder focus push, that was obviously the idea. I'm pretty sure, and I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure there was arms every single day in some way, shape, or form. So push,
there was.
There would have been triceps, legs, and arms. There was obviously arms. We utilized.
Every single day was arms. Yep.
Good. And that worked.
I like that, by the way.
That worked. Yeah, something that you did like. But what we utilized on that is like regular training in terms of just the movement, and then obviously blood flow restriction to make sure that we can sort of hit it in a slightly different way that you have enough time to recover, stuff like that. So all of these things taken into consideration across the week. The next questions are, so the connect that didn't connect well with hip thrust. Okay. Any specific exercises that you did connect well with? I know with chest, you had a lot of issues connecting with your chest, and you've resolved those and you and your chest are okay now. Do you think that was because we had the emphasis on this block and you were able to sort of push a little bit further with that?
100%. You know, I think the different movements and the range of movements that I was doing with chest really allowed me to kind of get a good connection with that muscle group that I didn't have before. I also think that the split of kind of like a power day, and it's not that, you know, when we're doing power day, it wasn't like I wasn't lifting, or you know, hitting higher rep ranges as well. But, you know, I think the combination of the both, feeling the muscle at different weight levels, has really allowed me to kind of emphasize that. Also, you know, this training block, we have focused on like, what's your one core thing that you want to be the best at? And that's been the sumo deadlift for me. And so removing the wagon wheels, you know, which essentially are simulating block pulls, and going down to a much more, you know, traditional sumo deadlift.
Lifting from the floor. And I would like to add the first, was it last Sunday that we had the first session we had in Cleveland? You're like, we're going to start with sumo deadlifts. I'm like, perfect. The fucking thing that you've really had a whole block into. I'm brilliant. Like, sign me up. Perfect.
I was so excited.
Yeah. But yeah, with that, you know, the focus on taking the time to learn how to connect with the muscle so that you can progress in that. And it is, I know we say the literal reps, like they're putting the reps in to get that actual connection. So that is one thing that we put a lot of emphasis on.
Yep.
The sumo deadlift, I think this is a good talking point for what way we're going to put together the new training block, because, well, I'll go back a bit. So what you were saying there is about the sort of power building style, and the different rep ranges and feeling it. So again, as we sort of spoke about yesterday, and I'm gonna have to remember to put these in order now in terms of when we release them, so working through the lower rep ranges so that we can focus on strength, but also working in different ranges, as in the range of motion at different rep ranges in terms of higher rep ranges, so you can focus on hypertrophy as well. So we're trying to sort of tick both boxes each session across the week. Is that fair?
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah. So now one thing that we need to take, or you want to take into consideration, is how can we deadlift as much as possible across the week and not jeopardize everything else that we're doing? So how can we make this a main focus, but not like be completely debilitated after the first session? Like, how can we be smart about it to fit that in?
Just lifting deadlifts every single day.
Just do deadlifts every single day.
Well, right. I mean, you know, you mentioned, I think, you know, range of motion, right? So I think there's a few different ways, you know, you have, you know, pause deadlifts at different periods, you have block pulls, you have, you know, lighter weight, higher rep ranges, which would require less recovery, and obviously, you know, power and strength days. So I think there's a few different ways of tackling that, right? You can also do RDLs, you know, different variations of deadlifting too. That's a component, right?
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that, again, I haven't spoken to you about, and one thing that we have never done, because I know what the...
Wait, you were holding something back from me?
I mean, I always have to have stuff, or else you'll never want to... Like, there always has to be somewhere to progress. so I know what the goal is in terms of the body parts that we want to focus on physique-wise, but I also know that the deadlift is a big part of that in terms of what you want to focus on strength-wise.
Yeah.
So things that we need to take into consideration, like, where is the weakest link in your deadlift? Like, where do you struggle the most, and how can we put an emphasis on that? So things like you said, pause deadlift. So like coming up a bit, pausing, and then going up from there, understanding where you're weakest, like mechanically where we are weakest in the deadlift. Doing things like banded deadlifts. So from the floor where you band it. So like the same thing we were talking about, the chains yesterday, as the bands stretch, it gets heavier. So you'll do a lighter weight on the bar, but where you, as you come up and as you get stronger, it will match the sort of strength profile. So ways that we can sort of incorporate all these things to have a focus on getting strong in a deadlift as well.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And, you know, some of the, you know, areas that obviously is as I start getting into, you know, the 500 ranges, 535 and above, the liftoff is always, you know, a challenging part for me. And it's a lot of it too, I think, is mental, feeling the weight, but also just being comfortable with, you know, that much amount of weight as I'm going up, as well as just that explosive initial component to it, are all areas that I can definitely work on for sure. I think, you know, we've kind of addressed the grip strength issue with the straps that I actually enjoy, with the figure eight Cobra strength grips that I really like. But, you know, the liftoff is a big one for that for sure.
Yeah. And as you can imagine, you know, whenever I talk about where we're weakest, that is where you're weakest in that part of the movement, which is why deadlift's such a shit show for a lot of people, because you're so compromised in that position, like, you know, hamstrings, glutes, lower back, you're down in the bottom of the movement. That's literally where you have to have the most force and the most momentum, and you're the weakest all at the same time. So it is, there's a lot to sort of take into consideration that. But even, you know, aside from that, like you said, things that you need to consider, grip strength, like, can you create the stability, you know, being able to pin your shoulder blades back, you know, all of the other things that, that come into it, which, I mean, I said this to you at the time, whenever we decided to remove the wagon wheels, I was cautious almost of, is that going to be okay? Because one of the very first things that we did 3 years ago was elevate the deadlift up. So we've been doing that for 3 years. You've been able to push the weight. So it's now a case of, right, we're taking that away and we're going to an even lower range. It's going to put you in an even more compromised position. Now, from the sessions that we did and from the videos you sent, I don't think it's a problem, but it was something that was definitely on my mind whenever we made that switch.
Yeah, same here, you know, and you know, being able to move around some of my ailments, which have been, you know, previously, you know, back issues, specifically lower left back, shoulder tear, left shoulder. You know, we've been able to work around those. You know, some of my main concerns was, you know, pulling from the ground directly, you know, would that have any type of impact? But the ability for me to have built up both with rack pulls, my lower back, as well as the deadlifts from you know, the elevated position has really strengthened my lower back. And I just don't have those problems anymore. I haven't had back pain in over a year and a half. I haven't had any shoulder pain really in over a year and a half. So, you know, the building up of the areas there, especially where you might have ailments or weaknesses, has definitely been, and, you know, obviously in a controlled fashion, you know, rack pulls for me, and people can give me shit for all they want to, but doing rack pulls on a Smith machine is phenomenal, because you don't have to worry about, you know, tweaking your back. You're locked into that position. And it really has helped specifically focus and isolate my lower back, and my spinal erectors, to really build up my muscles fast in there. So if you really struggle with back pain, or you're getting that a lot, or your deadlifts aren't doing very well, rack pulls are such a great option for you to get very fast, you know, pull some very heavy weight controlled without injuring your back, and really being able to build that up very quickly. And it's just, you know, think of it as kind of like a half RDL or half deadlift. You're just coming up to your knees, or maybe a little bit below if you want. And then just pulling up on your back, and it really helps out quite a bit with your back strength.
Yeah, the reason I like them is I would always go like knees or just slightly below your knees. Like a perfect setup for me is like almost you could, you know, the soft bit just below your kneecap. Like that's almost where the bar would sit if you stand real close to it.
I'm exactly where. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about it is like I would always consider the top half movement of the deadlift. So the bits that you want to focus on. And again, it comes down to your ability to actually contract the muscle. And it's something that I don't know whether it was whenever we did the dumbbell RDLs at yours, or I was talking to someone about dumbbell RDLs, or why I like RDL is because I know I have such a good connection with my hamstrings and glutes, and I can feel them work, and I can feel my body like in control of it. So same sort of thing with the rack pull, like actually being able to control contracting your hamstrings. If you think, I mean, I don't know if this is a perfect comparison, but you get what I mean. So if you think about your bicep and what it does, you think about your hamstring as your bicep of your leg, like it should work in essentially the same way. So being able to contract that like this, you should be able to do the same thing like that. So contract that and being able to pull it up also go through your glutes. And generally, whenever people talk about back pain, it's not always their back that it's a problem, but it's a weak link in your posterior chain somewhere. So being able to focus heavily on your hamstrings, your glutes, and your lower back in that one movement, not having to do a super heavy weight to start to get comfortable with it, but safe enough that you're not going super low where you're in those like compromised positions right at the bottom. And it gives you like what the weight actually feels like. I think it's definitely a great tool. And again, to sort of make them more difficult, you can band them and all sorts of things.
Awesome. And one thing I'll say with the last about that is, you know, listening to like Dr. Atia and a few others, you know, our backs are overly sensitive when it comes to pain, to the extent of a lot of times when you're experiencing back pain, it's not really a big deal. Now, there obviously is. You need to be very cautious of it. But, you know, some of that is ignorable in some cases. Like if it's just a more of like a exhausted or, you know, type of feel in your lower back or kind of a crunching up of the back. But obviously, if you're experiencing major back pain, those are something you got to be really cautious of. But building up those back muscles are so important.
Yeah, and having an understanding that the same way that you get DOMS in your biceps or your quads or your chest, you can get DOMS in your erectors in your back. Like the pump that you can get in your lower back is serious as well. So it's like being able to separate that from actual injury and actual back pain.
Yep.
A couple of other questions here, which I think are going to be hilarious. Moving forward, how many days a week can you realistically commit to training? 15. Any days of the week that are require non-training days?
Nope.
Yeah. How long?
I do enjoy like a Sunday, you know, to kind of sleep in, chill, relax, has been nice. And obviously we're switching my Orange Theory days to Tuesday to Friday. So if that means that I'm lifting on, you know, Sunday or whatever to fit that in, that's successfully fine too. But I've kind of gotten accustomed to Sundays as being kind of just my lazy day. Don't eat a ton, you know, but maybe just go on a walk, those types of things.
Yeah, just going to walk and train for an hour and a half and just not tell me.
Definitely train.
Right. How long in duration can each session be and how long are your current sessions taking? I think for you, not to put words in your mouth, I think this varies. Some days you got to go in and just get it done and you know how to adjust that. You know, okay, right, I'll maybe not do three sets and then do another 45 minutes of biceps at the end. Or if you do have time, you can play about with it. Or on top of
sometimes I split. You know, like yesterday, I was in a hurry, right? And I did back and I didn't have time for biceps. I did biceps in the afternoon and it was a great session, right? So, you know, I definitely balance the time frames from it based off of what my schedule allows. But usually I would say like on average, I'm around an hour and a half to 2 hours for Saturday leg days that I typically have, you know, heavy legs. I will spend usually like 2.5 hours in the gym with that one. And again, I'm not saying this is normal for everybody. Don't worry about spending 2.5 hours. It's really not necessary. I just enjoy it. It's in the morning. I get up early before all the kids are up. You know, it's a Saturday, you know, get my pre-workout on. And then I just enjoy some music and lifting really, really heavy and taking a lot of pauses in between. So, you know, it's kind of like my meditation day, for lack of a better term, where I spend a little bit longer. Sometimes I've spent 3.5-4 hours there. Aaron's like, it's noon. Are you still in the gym? Yeah, it's been a long time. So
the thing about that is, you know, it's knowing that you take more time and breaks in between. Do you know what I mean? It's not as full on. It's difficult, right. But it's not as full on as a session where you're back to back because it's bigger weights and there's a lot of like adding plates to things. Like all these things sort of take time as well.
Yep.
Has your equipment availability changed? Yes. If answered yes, please elaborate. I think I know the answer to that, so that's absolutely fine. Yeah, I have all the details on that, so it's fine. Any new aches, injuries, or pains?
No.
Nope. Cool. What 1 to 3 muscle groups in your physique figure would you like to focus on, if any, with your next training program? I know the answer, but you may as well
tell me. Arms, legs, and back.
Okay. I'm going to put that in order of back, legs, and arms because we'll always do arms. But I think the main focus that you want, and correct me if I'm wrong, is back. Like that's what you want the main focus to be.
Yeah. And by the way, I pushed my next meeting for 15 minutes. We got some time.
You there?
Still there?
Yeah.
I pushed my meeting 15 minutes, just an FYI.
Okay, cool. We got some time. So I was saying there, the main focus I would say you would want to be back. Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah. I want to
back legs back, and then arms. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Cool. The next question in here, and I know
that. And traps, bro. I should say back and traps. Like okay. I like the big traps because obviously it adds a profile to you. So as much as we can hit traps as well, as part of back, it'd be great.
Yeah. And the last on this is, and I think again, I know the answer, like how much variation do you enjoy from one program to the next? 1, being minimal. I like the current selection, just a few adjustments. 2, a lot. I need variation to keep me interested. And 3, somewhere in the middle.
I think 1, I'm usually good with 1. I don't usually like the mix up at a bunch. Like if I'm feeling, you know, like, you know, a little bit different that day, I'll just swap out the exercise for something different, you know, that is entertaining or I feel better, you know, range of motion, or, you know, maybe I'm not feeling that exercise that day. So I feel like I can mix and match the same type of exercises if I need to, but I prefer kind of staying consistent with the training programs. Like I don't need to have to do like a different type of splits for, you know, 1 week or the other. I don't like a lot of variation. I like kind of staying consistent with that and kind of mastering the exercise.
Yeah. And I think that that's an important point to note because some people need a lot of variation. They need a program changed every what seems like 2 minutes, but, you know, maybe at least 12 weeks. But I've said this to you before, I like to spend maybe 6, 7, 8 months in a training program. And if I do need to swap something out, like do exercises to swap out, to slightly change it up, or if I'm starting to hit a plateau, or like you said, you know, if it's a back movement and you want to swap it for something else, I'm pretty confident in the fact that you'll know what to swap it with and not like, oh, I've got hip thrust on, I really don't feel like it, I'm just going to do biceps instead because that's the same, which I mean, I don't doubt has happened.
Right. I'm sure it has happened. Never.
No. Right, cool. So essentially that is the training block review. That's the question I get sent out to everybody. And then basically the process from that is we have a call, we can talk a little bit about it. I get a bit more of an understanding, and then I have this stuff as a reference. I didn't take as many notes because I was taking them and I was like, oh, this is going to be recorded, so I can just use this, so it's fine. So I didn't take the notes. But the next part is trying to like put your week together. So things that you need to take into consideration is, as you said, Orange Theory on a Tuesday and Friday. So what does that mean for you? What does it mean in your current training block? I mean, I know, but you may as well tell everybody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, and just know that's going to be just for the summertime. Mm-hmm. And the reason is Erin, my wife, likes to go training together. It's a training buddy thing. So she goes, you know, three times a week. I go twice. And with the kids' schedules, with basketball and stuff, I have to adjust Orange Theory to Tuesdays and Thursday mornings because Tuesday and Fridays, because Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they have activities that they're going to. So this will just be a temporary thing for the summertime, and then eventually when the kids go back into school, I'll go back to Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm sure. But for me, it's, you know, making sure I can still accomplish my cardiovascular goals. I really enjoy HIIT training. I like pushing myself. You know, it's cool because I think, you know, people don't realize resistance training definitely has a major impact on cardiovascular as well. So I'm strong doing certain things, you know, like HIIT training, like running fast and sprinting. You know, obviously if you're building up your muscles, you have a lot of strength in your muscles, you can push your muscles a lot further and faster. So I enjoy being competitive on the cardiovascular side.
I mean, I feel like 96 episodes in, I think everybody is very aware that you enjoy being competitive.
Yeah, for sure. So it's just, you know, for me, I enjoy the balance. You know, we obviously used to do three cardio sessions a week, and we tapered that down to two as to not impact the muscle building side. If you do too much cardio, it can definitely eat away at your gains in muscle ability. So, you know, definitely balancing the two. And I think two's been a really good job. It lets me recover. I don't feel, you know, sluggish or tired. And I can definitely manage both of them at the same time.
Okay. So the way it's set up at the minute is obviously we use Sunday as a rest day. Monday you have two sessions, chest focused and Orange Theory is generally the way it is. Leg day and arms on a Tuesday. Wednesday is a rest day from the gym, but you do the Orange Theory. So moving forward, what way do you want that to be split? Would you rather a Tuesday a Tuesday or a Friday as your rest day from the gym if you're going to have Orange Theory on one of those days?
I would say I'd prefer Tuesdays as being the rest day.
Okay. Cool. And then what we can do is on the Friday to have that as the day that's your double session, yeah?
Yep.
Cool.
And if we can keep that double session not legs, energy to that, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely good. I would probably still, I know you like taking your time with legs on a Saturday, I'd probably just keep that to you.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. I am taking note of that one. Right. And you want the focus to be on deadlifts. So essentially what I would do is, I'm going to say this off the top of my head, and what I'll probably do is I'll put the program together, and either we can talk about the program at another time when it's actually together and you can see it, or I could just do a walkthrough video and post it online for everybody to see. So what I'll probably do is have truth be told, a similar sort of setup to mine in terms of how the days are split. So I'll actually just pull that up because it's probably the best way to actually go through it. So for me, the focus for me in terms of how the days go is I wanted to also improve my back. So that's the focus of this training block. And this sort of gave me a bit of an insight as to you can step away from push pull legs or upper lower or insert whatever regular training plan you have. So my sessions go: Monday is pull and lower, Tuesday's push, Wednesday's pull, Thursday's rest, Friday's lower and arms, and Saturday is upper, pull and arms focused. So there's a lot of pull in there because it's back. Now I'm not saying your training plan is going to be exactly the same, but you can tell that there will be a lot of focus on pull, and you can get a lot done across the week if you're sort of smart about the movements that you do. The one thing I am going to have to take into consideration is the days that you deadlift. I would probably say a Monday and a Thursday off the top of my head. In terms of Monday could potentially be the heavy day because if you've rested from Sunday, or Monday be the heavy day and you rest on Sunday, and then we could do like a higher volume day that will allow you to get the movement in and focus on form and technique. In that day of the form and technique is probably whenever I would start to incorporate the other like bits and pieces of banding and stuff like that, and actually have a dedicated like, you know, maybe 45 minutes of the session is just on deadlifts in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Love it.
Cool. Anything else that there is that you want me to take into consideration on this?
You know, some things too, there's some good data on, you know, if you hit muscle groups throughout the week, you have a better, you know, chance of, or better, a better, ability to build muscle mass in those areas. You know, maybe even for days that, I'm doing like push or stuff like that, you know, doing like TRX band, rows or pull-ups during those days, just, and even if it's like a push day, just, you know, knocking out three sets of pull-ups or something like that, just to kind of split it up a bit to hit the back a little bit more, just some ideas there, potentially to hit those. I mean, obviously you need recovery time, but I think if you're doing, you know, lower volume, not, you know, doing, you know, weights attached, you know, just, you know, kind of using the muscle and that way might be a good one too.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this is where I sort of, you'll know from the start, like my sort of process is start with full body sessions and then move from there. And the reason being is people are focused on the, well, I train chest on a Mondays and then I train back on a Tuesday and then I train legs on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And essentially what you're doing is you're limiting your time there across the weeks and across the years. So for example, if you train back on a Tuesday and you do that for 52 weeks, you train back 52 times. Whereas if you can do either, you know, pull days or whatever way it's going to be set up or even full body sessions, you can train it three times the amount across the week, which is, you know, three times the amount across the year.
Yeah.
So taking all those things into consideration. The other sort of point to note on that, whenever it comes to this whole block, and I think I was very clear on this whenever we originally spoke about having it sort of heavy focused on deadlifts, is when I put this together, it will be a sort of, we'll trial this out to make sure you can recover. And there will be a lot of like back and forward is, do you know what? I actually don't have the capacity to do that deadlift day. We'll either push it a day ahead or we'll pull back and we'll do something else, because I think we need to be very cautious that we can recover. As I said, especially at the sort of level of training, especially with the density and muscle mass that we're at now.
Yep. Sounds good to me. Love it.
Cool. Right. I guess I'll get put this together then.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. And, you know, obviously, I always appreciate the customizations around the training programs. I think, you know, being able to have somebody that looks at your schedule from the outside, that looks at where you're at progress wise and, you know, builds a plan towards that is really, really important. You know, the last plan that you had given me, I looked at, I'm like, wow, I didn't even think about these types of splits and separations and things that you could do. And it really took me to the next level, I think, in the training program. So I really enjoyed this one and looking forward to the next one. So appreciate what you do, dude, and excited to see the results.
Of course. And I would like to caveat, this isn't just that Dave gets this over anybody else. Like everybody gets this same questionnaire, the same process, the same customization. Like everybody gets their individualized training program. So I think this episode is a good sort of insight to how we do things on this side.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. More bonus episodes to come. Thanks for listening. Share us. WeHackHealth. Hashtag WeHackHealth. At WeHackHealth. All the WeHackHealths.
WeHackHealth. HackHealth. Hacking Health.
Hacking your health. Health.
Thank you all so much for tuning in for this special episode of Hacking Your Health.
Right. Overnight. See you next week.
Yeah.